It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
This week on B-movie breakdown, we learned one thing: to remember the lumberyard and go balls out with the movie Rad from 1986.
Represent
1986 with Rad.
Confirmed.
Well, I'm Corey.
I'm Gina.
I'm Ryan.
And the B-Movie Breakdown is a weekly podcast where you find the humor and enjoyment in low-budget, lesser-known films of the past and present, home of the good, the bad, the what the fuck. Each week's movie will be revealed on the prior episode, so you too can join in on the madness. They're usually on Netflix. Lately, been a little bit harder to find for everybody. This movie has to be on YouTube in parts or something.
I've never heard of this in my life.
You can find it in your local dumpster.
You can find it in your local Bob Bardash video store.
Or skate park.
You can listen to us if you subscribe on iTunes, on our website, bmbpodcast.com, or on Stitcher. You can also reach us at our site, our email, bmbpodcast@gmail.com, and on Twitter and on Facebook. Give us your suggestions. A few weeks ago, we had a suggestion of Color of Night. I recently learned some things about that movie. My girlfriend's mother had somehow found out we had watched the movie, and she said that was one of the most terrifying movies she's ever watched.
What?
I am not lying.
Does she know what we're talking about?
Yes. Because she even mentioned to Kaylee about Bruce Willis's penis in the movie.
Yeah, it seems that everybody who has seen that movie, that's the first thing they bring up.
Yeah, because another person that we work with, when I mentioned Color of Night, they were like, oh, I love that movie.
That's really weird.
Yeah, but Kaylee's mother said that was one of the most terrifying movies she's ever seen.
Oh, no. Whoopsies. Was she easily frightened?
No.
I don't feel like there was anything other than that one lady's face. I believe that girl boy's face in that movie would sprain
her. Little Bruno.
Little Bruno scared her to death.
Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty bizarre, but...
Yeah, I thought that was... I couldn't believe it when she told me that. I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. You were wondering before we started this what the budget was for this week's movie, Rad. It was $11 million.
No.
$11 million to make this. How much of it was sponsors and other things? Probably
how
the
many,
entire
like,
budget.
Actual BMX people were in it.
Like stars? BMX?
Not, I don't even need to be stars. I was just wondering how many of them. Because they went through the fucking 20 minutes of introducing, like, this guy wearing this mustache. This guy with this Farrah Fawcett hairdo.
Well, we did have Bart.
And they just showed them for, like, an exorbitantly long amount of time.
Well, the guy who directed this movie, he directed Smokey and the Bandit.
Nice.
Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Nicer.
The Cannonball Run.
Even better.
The Cannonball Run 2.
So many mustaches.
No. This is bizarre.
Megaforce, Body Slam. I don't know. I've never seen those movies, but, you know, Body Slam sounds familiar. Yep,
like...
totally seen Body Slam. Roddy Piper's in it.
I was going to say, if it's wrestling related, you've probably seen it.
Roddy Piper's in it. I don't know if it's wrestling related.
Called fucking Body Slam.
It is. One thing I really enjoyed about this movie was the soundtrack.
Yeah,
it was definitely rad. the amount of times they said the word rad in this movie, rad or radical, was just, I couldn't even keep track.
Nice. I heard gnarly a few times.
Tubular!
But I definitely, it's a highly sought collectible, this soundtrack, the vinyl.
Really?
Yeah, the vinyl and the cassette, put out by Curb Records in late 1986.
I have the 8-track.
Oh, do you? That's a
rare. And there were
more
some,
rare.
Like, sound-alikes, like... You said
John Farnham, who did a lot of this soundtrack, he's a Australian pop singer, and big in the 80s. Apparently, what is it? Why does it say Full House?
Because
Uncle
House?
Becky.
Uncle Becky? Uncle Becky's on there? Well, at some point she
and
was
Becky.
Uncle
oh,
Becky.
Oh, no. It was... Full House was the name of one of his albums.
Oh, that's kind of strange.
He's also done An album with Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, my.
Yeah. John Farnham. He should have stuck it with the Red soundtrack, just touring that. Farnham.
Yeah, that was a Xanadon't. No. Sorry.
Xanadu?
I tried.
You got the joke.
This movie, it's a U.S. movie, but it was filmed in Calgary. So, and Cochrane, Alberta. That's
that
where.
Would explain why they apologized a lot.
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're sorry. I thought you said my name.
No.
I was like, but there was also quite a bit of people in this movie. There was Lori Loughlin, who went on to play Aunt Becky at Full House. She's also in a movie that we had watched previously in this podcast.
Troll 2.
No, my God, why am I blanking on the name?
Way to go.
God, I don't know. Talia Shire's also in this movie from the Godfather series and the Rocky series. So she did Godfather 1 and 2. Rocky 1 through 4 decided, hey, I'm going to do Rad. I'm going to be the mom. Mrs. Jones, no first name.
That's the next logical step.
Oh, the movie was Back to the Beach. That's the one movie we had done on the podcast with Lori Loughlin in it before. So... Lori Loughlin, before this, she was really in... she was in Amityville 3D.
How old was she in this?
She would have... 86. She was Bainty born Trace. In 64.
Oh, okay.
So she was roughly, like, 22.
Oh, okay.
Benty does.
I like that they got a 45-year-old, craggy, 9-foot-tall man with a wig to do all her stunt work.
Yes, there was very obviously a...
That was appropriate.
Yes, very obviously a man when... Sorry, I'm laughing. I'm looking at Lori Loughlin's filmography, not her TV work, and she was in the 2009's Old Dogs.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was... just made me laugh.
I thought that was funny, but not the movie.
No, the movie. Did anybody see that movie?
No.
No, Old Balls.
Old Balls. Is that what it, that was?
And they were so wrinkly.
Yeah.
They were so wrinkly. But yeah, there was, like, it was weird to see Talia Shire in this movie alone just because coming off the heels of such huge movies, especially, like, I mean, The Godfather alone, she has such a huge role in the first, in all of them, but then the first two had only come out at this point. And then, and also a massive role in the Rocky series.
Oh. That's his mom?
What?
Crew's mom was Adrian.
That's what I was asking. Okay,
and she played Connie in the Godfather
movies.
Yeah,
now it makes sense. I remember now.
Yeah, her husband was very abusive.
Yes.
Well, he got what was coming to him.
This is true.
Yeah.
He did. But he's very abusive.
What happened to the Crew's dad? I forgot.
They never said what happened to his dad.
But he was peaced out.
Well, he died.
He was at a toll booth. And these people took out Thompson machine guns and just mowed them down.
Oh, I think it'll relate to some other toll booth story.
Yeah, I didn't know what was happening there.
But never mind.
Anyway.
But yeah, I got the toll booth one.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good one.
No.
Brohoof.
Boom.
Boom. Brohoofed it out. So this movie, it has very little plot. It basically revolves around Crew. This kid lives in the town of Cochrane. His dream is to become the, like, mega BMX star.
Yeah.
And what is coming to his town for the first time ever, it's never been anywhere else, Hell Track. Put on by the guy who owns Mongoose, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily the company he owned, but all of his guys were on Team Mongoose, so I can only assume that that's the company he was with.
No.
So Mongoose Bikes
was... That was a deduction from all the other sponsored riders.
Yeah, Mongoose was like the evil corporation in this movie.
Yeah, tail is all
just
the
like
time.
Walmart, who sells Mongoose.
It just came full circle.
It did.
You just inceptioned everybody's head.
Redception.
Redception.
Nope.
Yes. It happened. Mm-mm. Anyway.
Yep.
I feel like this movie was like some kind of like... super jump cut of just like when you're like, you know, skateboard videos, how those just are just on endless of just a dude doing ollies and flippy farts and, you know, nose bone, you know, whatever. Yes. I know things.
I've heard some of those words,
but like, I don't know, I felt like that's what the majority of this was. I peaced out a couple times and then came back and it was the same thing was happening for like 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah. There was many montages in this movie. I, I almost couldn't keep track of how many montages were in this movie. Definitely more than Rocky IV, which is a lot. This movie also had lots of product placement, aside from GT, Dino, Vans, Redline, Mongoose, Schwinn, Haro,
the one Coke guy,
Coca-Cola, USA Today, 7-Eleven, MasterCard,
Coleman,
Kick Cereal.
Oh, yeah, they rode through a giant Kick Cereal bowl.
Yeah, giant Kick Cereal bowl at one point in this movie. It was... This movie was absolutely... It was insane, because the montages were hilarious enough, because it just starts off with a montage. It's an opening credit montage. These guys that you never see again in the movie are doing freestyle on BMX, which nobody else does in the entire movie. This movie is not about freestyle BMX. It's about motocross BMX. So I don't really understand why the freestyle... It just looked cool.
Yeah,
well, because they needed something for the intro and the ending credits.
Yes. So it was the freestyle BMX with the mega rat tail guy.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was beautiful.
It was almost a mullet, but just small enough to be considered a rat tail.
It was
textured looking.
It was great enough to make me jealous.
I mean, they were pretty... They're pretty dexterous. I don't know. Those guys were doing other weird stuff. Yeah, they weren't doing the, motocross stuff.
Yeah, so it starts off with that montage, opening credits, whatever, fine. You know, credits can lay over any sort of thing in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are montages, it happens. Then it goes literally directly into another montage of a paper route, which is many tricks happening. You're introduced to crew, crew's best friend Luke, Luke's girlfriend, Tomboy.
Lesbian. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did she have a name?
I don't know if they ever said her name.
I thought you were saying her name as if it were Tomboy.
She was
girlfriend's
Tomboy.
Name was just Tomboy.
Oh, I didn't know she was his girlfriend.
Becky, maybe? Luke and Becky are right next to each other on the cast list.
She's looked very much shorter than him, and
she was the most butch tomboy type of character. Yet she has the most female name in the entire movie.
That's true.
Because Lori Loughlin's character, who he meets later on, is named Christian, and his sister's name is Wesley.
Yeah.
So. The most tomboy character had... It was just ass backwards.
The juxtaposition.
Yeah, they were
really
cutting edge in the 80s.
Very cutting edge, especially in extreme sports movies
and
Rad.
Sweatpants Engineering.
Yeah, there's a lot of sweat.
There's another 80s movie. I can't remember what it's a paintball movie, and I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Gotcha or something. We should watch that
Gotcha.
One time. It's very much in the same style as this. But it's about paintball instead of BMX. Very similar. I don't know. Maybe it's called Gotcha. Maybe it's called something else. I don't know. I remember somebody had it that was really big into paintballing.
It's called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Keenan Ivory Wayans directed it.
There we go.
The one guy, when they were doing their USA Today paper route, the one guy is like, what's with these kids and these funny-looking bikes?
Old people are constantly
raging. There were a couple things where I didn't understand. That was one of them. Another one was there was a big parade that comes to town before the Hell Track. And there's a woman who is inconvenienced by said parade. She is getting out. She gets out of her car, starts yelling at everybody while handing out American flags, yelling how it's so un-American, and she has a cake in the oven, and she has to get home. And they move the thing, they let her through, the parade has to stop, but it's like, oh, we got you, parade. I don't understand what happened there.
I think she meant there's a bun in the oven, and she has to get to the hospital.
No, she literally meant she had there was something in her, and the oven was on at her house.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh, I thought maybe you thought she was pregnant.
No.
She was definitely old.
She was so ugly, I don't think anyone would sleep with her.
Well, there's that.
I don't remember what she looked like.
The point of some of this was old
people. She looked
people.
Like the landlady from King.
Yeah, it was. But the thing is, the one guy who was like, you would be like, old people? He rode around on a BMX bike.
And sat there and watched the young people for exorbitant amounts of time.
And it was Ray Walston, who's probably most famous for playing Mr. Hand.
Yeah, pretty much only.
He's in The Sting. He was on My Favorite Martian.
I mean, we don't need to go if that's the only thing I remember him from.
So, I'm just saying, those are things he was on that other people might remember him from.
Maybe.
I don't.
Probably not.
But I remember him from Fast Times at Ridgemont High as Mr. Hand. When did he die? He died in 2001 at the age of 86.
Made it okay.
Oh, my.
So,
Aloha. It means the same thing.
I understand that.
His last thing he ever did was called Early Bird Special as the character Pappy.
Oh.
And before that...
Oh, it was rated X, too.
Two episodes of Seventh Heaven as Sergeant Millard Holmes.
So, was he a secret millionaire in this movie?
Yes.
I think so.
I don't know what his job was. He had something to do with the village.
I wasn't
with
necessarily
the
paying attention, but I seem like there was.
He was on
like
the board for the town that when they were bringing in the BMX race,
mm-hmm.
and he was very excited about all the revenue that was going to be brought into the town.
He also hired the contractors to build the highway to the danger zone.
Wow.
What?
That's a
that's almost more confusing than the woman who was claiming things were un-American.
I feel like he had a contentious relationship with that mongoose guy for no reason.
He did, because he was part of the city board committee with the mayor who brought it into town. Who was they were all pumped about money.
He kept giving that guy that finger.
He did at the end.
Yeah,
twice.
Because he because
he knew he was a piece of shit.
Yeah, he realized.
He called
him
that he was something he would step in that didn't smell good.
Yeah.
And which usually means poop.
Why didn't he say shit? The little girl said shit about 500 times in this movie.
And he gave the finger numerous times.
He's an old man. She's a young whippersnapper who rides BMX mm-hmm. bikes.
She was also a tomboy.
This movie, by the way, was rated PG. At the time in 1986, there was no PG-13 rating yet. So that's why this movie was rated PG, and the amounts of swearing. It's like that with a lot of movies in the 80s.
Yeah, for sure.
Transformers, the animated movie, there's swearing. They say shit and damn in that movie. Monster Squad is one more that comes to mind. The kids are swearing constantly, Monster Squad. Dracula calls a young girl a bitch at the end of Monster Squad. So, I mean, that's
like
the type of PG movies that definitely won't be getting made these days.
But there were so many nips.
At Family Video, we could only watch PG rated movies, but if they were from the 80s, you always had to be careful because there would always be some kind of effing and jeffing. Once there was like pubes on the screen.
Pubes?
Yep.
Like, why are you watching movies with pubes?
No, but
in
I mean, like, once
there
was
children
nudity,
present.
You're like, oh, what's this movie? Just one of the guys.
No.
Oh, boobs.
No.
Oh, I thought it was a guy the whole time, but it was
no.
a woman and showed her boobs.
It was like an 80s movie. There wasn't pubes. I just was being dramatic. Maybe like
oh,
a nip, slip. But I don't know, there's stuff in the 80s movies that pop up out of nowhere, and somebody all of a sudden is, like, fucking and screaming.
Fucking and screaming? Oh, my God. What video store did you work at that when somebody saw a nipple on the screen, they started fucking and screaming?
No, I mean, in the movie
The same video store that people ask you to fuck their wife in the back room.
Yeah.
On Craigslist.
That's not true.
Might have been. Well, they're fucking and screaming when they see a nipple, so.
You have to be let into the background of Family Video.
I mean, everybody teach their own what they get off on,
but... I've never seen anyone fuck back
for
there.
For me, it takes more than just a nip slip.
It's a nice company.
To start fucking and screaming.
It's not. But
at least,
they don't do that
you
there.
Know, I'll start screaming.
If you see a nip slip?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, speaking of nipples,
FCC.
There were some very hard nipples in this movie.
There were lots of droopy nips, too. I mean, droopy boobs.
Droopy nips? I don't think anybody had droopy...
In a cold room?
We didn't see any...
Like, 80s?
We didn't,
no.
We didn't
80s
see
and 70s was like, no bra, loosey-goosey in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, but nobody's
bunch boobs of marbles
seemed
rolling
very,
around.
I mean, you could have saggy breasts, but perky nips.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Oh, I'm going to...
I'm
going to
understand droopy
I'm going to disagree
nips.
With you. I don't think anybody's boobs in this movie were very droopy.
I just think the nips were all out of whack.
Why? Because they were hard?
No, just like bobbling around like boobs. I just don't agree with the whole free-flowing
boobs.
Well,
they are attached to the rest of the breast.
Well, not everybody had no bra on. Majority, but Lori Loughlin's character always had a bra on.
Yeah.
Or a mongoose suit.
Or when she was wearing the mongoose suit, I'm going to say no bra.
No bra was probably...
No bra there. Because it looked like that for sure. But the Hell Track, the whole deal with that was it's $100,000 for the winner and a new Corvette. And they're going to have a qualifier match. If you're a local if you're somebody from the local scene and you qualify, you get $10,000. Obviously, the main character in this movie, Crew, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen to this kid in the movie. He's going to try, he's going to qualify, but then he's going to have some ups and downs, trying to get in, can't get in, oh my god, and then he tries, well, at one point, the guy wants to make a deal with him, he's like, I don't want a corporate deal. I'm not about corporations. It's like I'm rad.
Cool running.
So, I just want to race, man.
So, they have all these rules and regulations against him. He has to raise the money to get in the race. He gets in the race. He wins. Sorry if I spoiled the movie so quickly.
It's kind of after he qualified, they kept changing the rules.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And upping the game for him to make it into the final race.
Yes. Yes. One thing I didn't understand about Crew, he had a separate house to go to, abandoned house that nobody seemed to care.
No, it was a trailer in a lumber yard.
But how was but one time it was right next to the river they jumped in.
That was like the cesspool fart.
When
like,
they jumped off their bikes into the river, and then she's like, how can you make hot chocolate without milk? I can't believe we're using river water to make hot chocolate without milk. Oh my god. How did they even get hot chocolate in the first place when they just jumped into a river with the clothes on?
They were jumping in the river with their clothes on a lot.
They just
obviously the lumberjacks left it there.
That wasn't the same shed though, was it?
No, it was a different shed.
Any romantic attempts in this movie were ridiculous anyway.
Well, if this movie was rated anything higher than PG, well, R, there would have been some sex scenes.
Nipple twerk.
Whoa.
Probably.
That's where you thought this movie was going? And when you were watching this movie, was the one thing on your mind nipple twerking?
I thought nipple twerks would have made it better.
I don't know. That Crew guy was very unsympathetic. I just didn't give a shit what happened to him. I hope he died. When he fell over that one time, I was like, I hope everyone runs him over.
Why? He was the hero.
No.
You wanted Bart Taylor, the man, to win?
Yes.
Because that entire scene went for 6 runs in real time. Not kidding.
Well, they didn't have much substance throughout the rest of the movie.
They had to fill it with... You wanted to see him qualify. Like, oh my god, is he gonna get it? Oh yeah, he's got it. Oh my god, he's got it again.
That was one thing though. Like he qualified for the money race. Yet 3 out of the 6 heats we saw in the montage, he cheated his way through.
Yeah, he cheated.
Yeah, he kept cheating, and nobody ever called him out on it.
It was never mentioned that he cheated.
Yeah, weren't there like judges throughout, or it was just the one at the guy with the flag at the end, and that's all you had to do?
It was just kayakers. They had the path taped off, and he frequently went through the pink tape they had up there, and just cut down the hill in front of other racers.
He cheated his way through, and nobody cared.
No one in professional cycling sports today would ever cheat. I can say that much.
No, they just ride.
No. Maybe it was the soulless ginger's fault. I don't know.
There was a lot of weird gingers in this.
The weird ginger kid who picked on his sister. He had the Bart Taylor is the man shirt. He was weird looking. Then there was like Seth Rogen, the cook. Bob the Blob.
Yeah, they called him that.
He looked kind of like a makeshifty type of Seth Rogen going on.
From 1986.
I feel like we have to talk about my favorite montage, though, is when... What was that fucking... What was it? A dance? What was that?
Oh, okay. Hold on. Hold on.
Whoopsies.
We will get to that in just a second.
Out of order.
Because that... No, it's not out of order. It's just... That's like the most epic part of this movie. It is. It's so unbelievably unreal. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I like how I wrote down Katie's nips equal hard, and then in parentheses, and getting harder.
Wow.
Because that was a quote that one of us said during watching the movie. But what you were talking about is there's this dance that's happening for Hell Track. I don't really understand why this is happening, but Bart Taylor and his goons and his female acquaintances are attending this dance. At first I thought it was a school dance, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's
just what like are a they town like, dance. How old are they? I don't understand.
I believe that Bart and his goons and the women, they were older. They were probably in their 20s, I would believe. Early 20s.
That'd be Harry look-alike.
Because they just seemed older. They just seemed like they were like the pros. They were on this pro circuit. Bart seemed a little bit younger than the others, but they all seemed to be a little bit older.
The twins obviously came from the future with their space costume.
Yeah, the twins, Rod and Rex, who looked like Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah.
They had, like, space, like, straight up, like, Mork and Mindy space outfits on at one point.
Yeah.
That was very, very weird.
Such foreshadow.
And then Bart Taylor and his goons have this, they just start having this dance-off. They clear the dance floor.
No.
Dance. They just start dancing.
Yeah.
So there's two montages in this scene. There's a dance montage and a bike dance montage.
Mm.
So there's the dance montage with like the chick with the crazy 80s hair and the cat suit. Then the Debbie Harry chick
shaking,
with like
shaking.
Where she just had like the yarn dress on.
Yeah. Fringe.
And, yeah. I don't know what was going on there. And then, it seemed like Aunt Becky, Lori Loughlin's character. Christian, she gets angry, it looks like, at one point. She runs off, grabs a bike, jumps Crew's bike.
Yeah, she, like,
because this is
over him.
At this point, my mind was so blown, because you only saw her as driving the Mongoose red trailblazer, and that's it. Like, the one guy talked to her, Bart, and he was like, said something. She was like, get out of here. And the guy's like, you have an AA attitude adjustment. And and I was like, oh, fucking John Cena stole that shit from Rad. And then she jumps his bike, and I was just like, what the fuck?
Because yeah, so
you had no idea that she was some sort of special, like, female bike rider. She just, she flies over it and into the school where the gym is.
And wherever the fuck
on the bike, she's like, come on, come in. Like, gives him a little finger gesture.
The come hither motion.
He comes in, and then Bart goes, you couldn't have waited until I was done dancing? Like, Bart, the man, who was like the top guy in BMX, cared more about dancing than he did about BMX dancing.
Because that was a thing.
It was a thing. It happened.
Why were there bikes inside?
Okay,
that's what I want to know. That's
Bart,
a liability.
Or Crew, and Christian, and Becky's character, they start having this, like, dance-off, like, love dance, weird thing to a song about angels on their bikes.
Yeah.
This scene, how long do you guys think this scene went on for?
10 to 15 minutes.
Like, 10 to 15 minutes of this movie was a scene where two people danced with each other,
like,
but
freestyle.
On freestyle bike.
So it's like, you take a turn floating through the air on this bike with your hands raised.
And yeah,
above
the shots were always above the waist, but you could slightly still see the bike handles. So they could do, like, weird things, like standing on the seats and, like,
it was like,
and then, like, having sex with the seat, because she was doing that quite
a few
like times.
Grinding and floating.
Yeah.
But it was like watching a figure skater, but propped on.
Yeah.
Like
it was like,
dino.
And then it was almost like a Siegfried and Roy, like she had like the sequins going, rhinestones.
They kept glowing in so many different
patterns.
Lots
of backlighting.
It was going on for so long. It was unreal.
The best parts were the faraway shots where the man had to do her stunts.
A few times you could totally tell it was a man as her. Like
Giant schnoz.
The wig was just overwhelming. Like, her hair was already kind of 80s, but then his
it
was
like,
just
didn't
like a
move.
Massive
it did not move.
Giant thing going on. And yeah, it was the dance. I don't even understand why that even happened.
They
it was one of the more bizarre things. We've watched some pretty bad movies, and always weird things happen. But for something this weird to happen for this long in a movie,
I feel like, the montages are just,
the montages were very long.
Inexplicably long.
But at least when they were montages of, like, racing and stuff, it made sense for the movie, because it's a bike racing movie, and you expect montages in some sort of racing movie.
Yeah.
So it's expected. Not this dance sequence on a bicycles.
Yeah, that one was weird.
It was really weird.
The themes were all the same for the music.
And then
though.
It goes from that to when he lands a flip for the first time, and cuts from there to them two hanging out, because apparently now they're in love.
Oh, yeah, they're sliding down that garbage chute.
Now they go to a river, to the lake or river, and there's a slide. I don't think it was a garbage chute. It would look like a slide that somebody had built in the woods.
It was a makeshift slide in the woods into a dirty, filthy, trash-filled retention pond.
It looked like a concrete drainage.
And like, right before they go there, I think I was laughing too hard as everything that was just... Everything was happening too quick. I was laughing too hard. Crew says, God, what I wouldn't give to go ass sliding with you right now.
Yeah, I heard
ass
that.
Ass sliding. This is something brand new to all of us. I don't know what ass sliding, what this concept is.
He said
is.
It very genuinely.
And then when they're doing it or right after they're doing it, he goes, now this is ass sliding.
And she was like cradling, or he was cradling her like a baby sliding behind
her. Yeah, and then you said, why is it she on the bottom and she's like cradling him?
I felt like his position was more passive. Like, he's cradling her, but his legs were around her like a baby. Like, he wasn't holding her like a man. He was like, I don't know. It was weird. It looked like a sloth climbing, trying to koala style onto her back or something. Like, the baby koala grabs on the mom. I just felt like he didn't look manly in that position.
So she should have been on his lap. Instead of between his legs.
They just should never have slid down that garbage chute.
Yeah, well, one, the thing they slide down this slide, garbage chute, whatever you want to call it, toxic waste dump thing. Who knows what's going on? It's the prequel to Toxic Avenger. They're in their clothes.
Yeah, they're always in their clothes and they're fucking swinging off and stuff and jumping. Suits.
Or sweatshirts with a cut-up sweatshirt over your sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But it's tucked into your sweatpants.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody is wearing sweatpants.
It's like Emilio.
Well, maybe they always went swimming in their clothes because it didn't look like summertime.
No, there were parts where their breath was like, you could see their breath.
So they're in Canada, like the fall. So maybe that's what, but they really just want to get in the water. Like, I don't give a fucking...
Yeah, they're kids.
Winter's coming, but you know what? Fuck it. I want to go ash sliding.
That's because...
I'm going to go...
Well, that's because...
Winter's bone is breaching, and,
Well, that's because the movie was all about being extreme.
Being rad, and being in love.
Yes.
And radical.
Radical love.
I don't know about and love. Tubular.
Why not love? Because
I don't think
Christian
they were in
and
love.
Crew, I almost said Brew.
I think her name was Christian Grey.
Christian Grey,
maybe.
And Crew, they were in love. Fell in love through bike dancing.
Yeah, see that's a
and ass sliding.
That's not a solid foundation.
Like, I think that's a state. This is the true statement of this movie. True love.
Is that it?
Comes down to ass sliding. And bike dancing.
Yeah, maybe for them.
And then safety.
For them, I think it should be for everybody.
I'm never gonna go ass sliding. That sounds...
You haven't lived.
We've already done that.
Unhealthy.
You guys, you've already done that?
Not true.
Oh. Well, that sucks. Well, there's a love montage after they do that. Them ass sliding and skipping on the rocks and playing
just,
in the water.
She, like, dropped a giant rock behind him.
Yeah.
And then he attacked her.
He attacked her on the rocks. There's just a love montage with turds in him. And then he mentions how he refuses to go to college.
Yeah.
Because he would rather...
Be a rad
BMX person. So, that's cool. Like, he'd rather not sign up for college... And they'd rather qualify for this one race.
Well, he handed it to his mom and guilt-tripped her pretty hard. I did take some notes. Because what was it? I forgot everything he said right now. But I remember thinking...
I took notes, but I forgot everything he said.
But there was a part where his mom was like, I can't believe you're doing this, and I hate you.
But he forged... tried to forge his mom's name for the permission slip.
Yeah,
had his little sister do it for him because obviously she was used to forging the mother signature.
Yeah, she's like a Curly Sue.
Yep.
Yeah. She is.
She was like a Punky Brewster.
Soleil Moon Frye. Forever. That was her name.
Is she dead?
No.
Well, you said forever, so I thought maybe she died.
No, Punky Brewster's dead, but...
Wasn't she in, like, Playboy or something?
Probably. I know she had fake boobs. That's all. No, wait. She had real boobs, but they were big. But I don't think that she was ever... But I cannot attest to whether or not she was in Playboy. She's not dead. I said she's not dead.
She's
Punky
so...
Punky Brewster's dead.
She's so...
Forever.
She's so dead. Well, then... So, we jump from montage to montage, and it's the love montage. Now we got the qualifying montage. And there's not just one qualifying montage. There's three qualifying montages all right in a row. Mm-mm. It is... Heat after heat after heat.
So wouldn't it be just one montage?
Yeah, but they kept pausing in between to have, like, conversations.
Okay.
So there were breaks in the
montages.
Yeah, I feel
like if you're going to have a montage and then someone speaks and it's done, then let it be done. But, oh, nope.
More.
But if it keeps going into different ones, that's not, that's separate to me, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, then they kept changing the rules on him. The one guy kept going, no racy. That was weird. The guy with the mustache, he
and
was
the
like
Coke
the
habit.
The Coke habit guy. He was like,
oh, the weird
he was like
guy.
The mayor's aide.
The guy that looked like
something.
Munchie.
Yeah, Munchie. He didn't look like Munchie. He looked like Robert Goulet.
Oh.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Robert Goulet is?
Have you ever seen Naked Gun?
That's it.
He's in the first Naked Gun.
As who?
The bad guy. Hmm. The main bad guy.
I didn't know his name.
Well, anyways...
No.
There's also another montage after the qualifying. I dubbed it Love Bikes. It's just them going for another ride in the park on bikes, going up and
Wait,
down
is that
and
when
slides.
They had the...
This is when they jump into the lake. Somehow he does like a mega, like
yeah, like flies off of
900
some kind of big old
into the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very...
And then the man in the wig shortly follows after.
Yes.
The fucking 12-foot-tall man.
The mega
with veiny hands.
Yeah. And then they end up, you know, selling the t-shirts. They make all these... Like a children's slave line into making all these t-shirts for Rad to...
to location imprint.
But the thing is, they're making all these shirts, only selling them for $10. And they only sold 48. So... They only got $480.
But it took him 5 minutes to figure that math out.
Yeah. So, but then they up the stakes again to where you have to have a sponsor that has made $50,000 or more.
Or Old Man Crothers.
So, they... Rad is sad. Christian ends up... What did I write down? Oh, Christian ends up coming to, like, console him, try to get him to, like, you know, you still gotta, like, fight for this, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
And he gets that energy back. He's like, I'm gonna do this somehow. I don't know how I'm gonna raise all this money. He does his paper route on time, which was an issue.
Oh,
apparently.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that from the beginning.
He's a kid.
But he did it on time.
Wait. At the beginning of the movie, he was only 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
I know, but he was, like,
the
striving.
The news hasn't changed.
No, but he was striving to get that, like,
this still
that 5 minutes.
Followed the same platitudes. Old people hate young kids, whippersnappers, and then the young kids are like, fuck you, old guy.
Holy shit, I forgot to mention one thing. The Ferris wheel at the grounds where the Hell Trek was. There's a Ferris wheel in the background, a small Ferris wheel, where people's, like, it was, like, just people hanging from, like, bars.
Their legs in the background were
Their
pretty prevalent.
Their legs were just, like, hanging out of the thing.
Yeah.
It was probably one-person buckets or something.
It was, like, a pull-up bar.
Yeah.
And then they were just, like, hang on, work your upper body.
It was
you win
very
tickets
weird.
If you survive.
If you can make it through the filming of the shot, we'll give you... A free candy cane. Wait,
then,
no, that's
and
not.
Then the town ends up rallying behind Rad. Or Rad, I want to crew. We
so
got,
you
we,
don't even remember his name.
We kept calling
he
him Rad. It's because we kept calling him Rad.
Because he was.
He
no,
was Rad.
He was not.
Because that was all over his clothes.
Boring.
Rad. True is Rad.
He won. He's Rad.
He did win.
Boring.
He did win.
Boring.
Crew is you
like
Bart
like
Taylor better.
Who's that one? The blonde one?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a dick.
The man.
Who was your favorite racer then?
That guy, I guess. No, what's her face?
Lori Loughlin?
Yeah.
She didn't even race in a race.
No, she just stood on the sidelines.
She didn't stand.
She was wearing a mongoose jumpsuit. Obviously supporting the opposing team.
Well, I liked her better than I liked that crew guy.
Uncle Becky.
He was weak.
Uncle Becky.
Uncle Becky. He was weak.
I was rooting for crew, regardless of Gina's insanity.
He's too SoCal for me, and he weren't even in California.
He didn't even live in California, they were in Alberta, Canada.
That's what I think.
Well, that's unfortunate. So, they do the hell trek. Rod and Rex are, like, out there to take down crew. They fail. Apparently, in this racetrack, if you fall down, you are out. And they just raced until there was two people left. Was there a number of laps?
No.
Was there a set number of laps?
End, there were, like, five people left.
No, there was just them two.
There were two people left.
There were people behind them. Watch the, like, the...
Go recall the footage.
No, just watch,
instant replay.
The last shot of them crossing the finish line, there were people behind them.
I don't think so.
I fucking guarantee.
I said it when they were there.
Because
the pictures came too.
Gina mentioned the guys wearing pink. There were two of them. One of them was eliminated. Another one was still in the race at the end. And you can see him in the final lap.
But I didn't understand how many laps there even were.
It doesn't matter.
I thought it was just until there was two people left.
It's and when there's a photo finish.
Whoever,
that's when the movie ends.
Whenever they tell you that it's the
end. They had part of the track, most of it was legit. There was a one really steep part where you're basically just going down a wall. I thought that was confusing.
And that was too legit to quit.
It was too legit to quit. Also too legit to quit was a giant kicks cereal bowl.
Yeah, I liked that.
Oh, and the huge gap in that wall that they had to go up, where most of the people were eliminated.
Yes.
What happened?
Just like a giant
hole.
There
was a giant gap where they went up the one part of the wall, and like everybody was falling there. It was like during the first lap or heat or whatever.
They got a wheel stuck and they fell, and they're like, "Oh, they might be dead, but they're eliminated."
Yeah, that's how most people got eliminated in the first lap. Was because of that.
I feel like they should have had weapons.
Like road rash?
This isn't like...
Oh my
like
god.
Like sharp weapons.
This isn't like Death Race 2000.
This is awesome.
This is just BMX.
They have cars in that movie. This is bikes.
With chains.
You wanted it to
pipes.
Be like twisted metal, but...
Road rash.
But road rash, you just had like a chain. She wanted like rockets and stuff.
I don't want a rocket. I just want...
You just want bludgeoning weapons.
I just want a kitchen knife.
Yeah,
that's not
a
bludgeoning weapon.
Stick.
That's a stabby weapon.
Okay.
I want like warrior type weapon.
Road rash.
So you wanted it to be like the Road Warrior, Mad Max, out in the desert. They were fighting over gasoline.
Without the fight over gasoline.
But they didn't need gasoline because they were on BMX bikes.
I just wanted a little bit
and
more
just
street.
More violence.
It needed to be more street.
You just wanted more violence in a movie that was for kids about BMX racing.
With
there's
hard
a lot
nipples.
Of twerk nipples for a movie
little
for kids.
Little kids aren't worrying about hard nipples.
And swearing.
I wasn't worrying about hard nipples when I was a kid. The swearing I would have thought was hilarious, probably.
There was a fingers. That's why they did the fingers, I feel like.
Middle finger?
Yeah, middle finger.
Little finger.
Well, I don't know. If somebody listening to this could just be like, why is she talking about fingering?
The fingers.
This is why they did the fingers. They just did all the fingers.
So many fingers.
Well, they're
middle, the middle finger from the old
they're fingering
guy.
While they're fucking and screaming over nip slips.
Whatever.
Janet Jackson.
Whatever.
She did her nip slips forever. With a giant purple pasty.
Mm-hmm.
So crew ends up winning the race. It's fairly obvious.
It was written in the script. I'm pretty sure.
And right as he wins, Bart's kind of like, "Oh, his teammates left him." Rod and Rex are like, "Forget you. We're gonna go hang out with the ladies."
Well, he did eliminate them from the race. He knocked his own teammates out to try to win.
This is true.
So, yeah, I'd fucking abandon you as well.
But then he walks up to crew to, like, congratulate him to be like, you know, you were the better racer. And then his sister goes, "Now that we're official, think we have room for one more on the rad team?"
Yeah, just take
and they
that
hold
guy.
His bike up and then freeze frame.
Freeze frame.
But it doesn't
done.
Even credits.
Freeze frame!
It doesn't even freeze frame credits roll. Freeze frame, fade to black. Montage.
Huey Lewis didn't even come out.
Montage
Huey
back.
Lewis.
Freeze frame.
Oh, all right. I gotcha. I was a little thrown off there, but I gotcha. So, then another montage. Just a massive montage of...
just the bouncing.
Bouncing and freestyle.
The mullet flopping.
Not many facts I could find about this movie. One thing says, despite petitions, this film has never been officially released on DVD or Blu-ray.
Petitions?
Many petitions.
Why not requests?
Because they were all sent to the White House to be officially signed.
So is Bieber president being deported?
What?
I'd rather keep Bieber and have Rad officially move to Blu-ray.
So you want to keep Bieber?
Unless they do approve those Death Star plans.
There was a petition to make a Death Star.
Like a year ago. It had enough requests.
One person's review on IMDb says, "I believe in heavenly vows. A triumph of cinematography that is yet to be surpassed."
Whoa.
Two gripes. No sequel, and no sequel to that sequel.
5 stars.
I am currently saving my dimes for a computer powerful enough to rip from video to DVD. Helltrek will be digitalized. A perplexing... can't even say it. Perplexing and damningly persistent question of mine over the years is, why would Mongoose allow themselves to be cast as the evil corporate sponsor?
Right.
Aiming to bury the competition at all costs.
Right.
And as a direct result of this fictional portrayal, my friends and I pretty much banished Mongoose to the lower rungs of BMXdom to stand alongside such pariahs as Diamondback and Huffy.
Well, maybe they were owned by Walmart back in 1986.
Yeah. So they just always associated Mongoose with a bully standard elf in much higher esteem. Mm. I don't know. That's what he said.
Elf?
Elf. That's what he put. All right.
Elf?
And he says, oh, well, I guess they figured any press was good press. Fools.
Oh, my. That's very heated.
Yeah, he just had like a fucking Revenge of the Nerds laugh going on.
It's Eddie Murphy time over here.
All right, Professor Clump. My favorite part. I just can't breathe.
Joke's on you.
I just love that review because my two gripes: no sequel and no sequel to that sequel.
Could happen, unfortunately.
You know, this movie, on so many levels, is probably not a 10. But I gave it 1 anyways. Because since I first saw it in theaters, to now, when I've seen it about 100+ times.
Wow, that's
ambitious. I still am totally engaged and entertained by it. To this day, I still dream about finding my own special someone to go ass sliding with. Plus, any movie that has Ray Walston, my favorite Martian, riding a BMX bike and flipping the bird, it's all right by me.
I bet he burped the VHS tape.
And, hold on, there's one more. Crew Jones for President. This movie is a popular underground hit, much like the sport of freestyle itself it was in the 80s. This movie was not about freestyle, bike BMXing. It practically has a cult following, which is why it's so amazing that none of the big money grubbing production companies don't want to release to their advantage.
Like Columbia TriStar.
Or maybe they're doing the whole E.T. Disney movie limited release strategy, but I doubt it. If they ever do release it on DVD, it'd be cool to add a bunch of special features. You know, like behind-the-scenes footage, soundtrack, music video info, and what the heck were they thinking interviews. That sort of stuff. Any other ideas? By the way, those who didn't grow up with this movie probably won't get it. There's plenty of cheesy lines and scenes. For example, Bart Taylor's honey's hit on Crew, and he dorks out saying, "I gotta see this guy." He did say that, I forgot to mention that part. But that didn't stop us from popping it in the VCR every single day before going out to ride our Hutch, Haro, Redline, and GTs.
Wow.
Such
some nostalgia power.
Such love for this movie. Most of these reviews were written in 2002. Cool. I don't know why. 2002 was a big year for
There was a revival, a renaissance.
Yeah. It was when they were, well, some of the mom and pop stores were shutting down and they were rediscovering it when they were selling it on VHS.
Oh, this movie. What is this?
I bought this when I was six.
Go put a 50-cent price sticker on there.
Oh, and does anybody else have anything to say about Rad from 1986?
The fact that it was Rad.
Rad was
given... For the entire time we've been recording, I've been making a montage. We'll put it up
on Rotten Tomatoes, Rad has a 0%.
No! I Frankenstein beat it. That's terrible.
I think that's bullshit. Yeah, but the audience rating is at 89%.
All right, redeemed.
So, yeah.
It's not critically acclaimed.
No, not at all.
It's too bad
Roger Ebert's dead.
It's not. No one claims to have watched it. He would have loved it.
So, yeah. But the film was only released on Pan and Scan VHS.
What the fuck was that?
It does the tracking for you.
Yeah. And it was released on Laserdisc.
Oh my god.
Oh my.
The film was one of the top 10 video rentals for 2 years. For 2 full years, this was in the top 10 movies rented in video stores.
Rad.
Rad. That's how rad it was. If people fucking wanted this movie.
I would agree.
I would agree, too. It only made $2 million at the box office.
That doesn't matter. I enjoyed
it. But back then, movies weren't released as big, you know.
It made $2 million.
On a budget of $11 million.
It yeah. made money.
No,
that's not how that works.
Oh.
So it actually made $13 million at the box office.
Yeah.
But it only made the $2 million back then. I'm just kidding. It only made $2 million at the box office. But it probably wasn't released that wide. Movies back then weren't released. These mega theater chains and stuff like that. It wasn't the same as now. So, you know, you can get like Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3 on every Cineplex in the United States. But Rad can only be seen on like 100 screens or something. It's unfortunate.
Such indie.
Such Rad was such an indie film with all its sponsors.
Oh my god.
Well, next week we're gonna watch a movie that Ryan has picked out.
What?
Last time he picked Your, you know, it was what it was.
Awesome.
Awesome.
I didn't know it was an 8-hour miniseries.
This came up on a discussion earlier today that Ryan had never seen the sequel to Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yay!
You ain't seen nothing yet. That's the tagline.
Oh.
The sequel to the box office smash.
Wow.
A group of martial arts warriors have only 6 days to save Earth from an extra-dimensional invasion. I'm going to tell you one thing about this movie. It is not directed by the same guy who directed the first one.
It's directed by
which isn't
John
a great
Woo.
Thing, which because the original, while it probably to me is the best video game movie, it's not saying much. Was directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who went on to do every Resident Evil movie, the Alien vs. Predator movies. So he's done a lot of crap.
Not UA Bull.
He's not UA Bull. He doesn't do that much crap, but he's done some crap. The one thing about this movie, though. Have you seen the original Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat!
Right. Yes.
Mortal Kombat was my... Who do you think I am? It was my only video game I was good at.
I don't know your video game history.
Well, I was pretty good. My neighbor would get so mad that he would either turn off the console or put it on pause and walk away and never come back.
Damn, that's some
serious
shit.
Sounds like my sister.
Well, you know what? This time there's no tournament. This time there's no rules. This time, there's only annihilation.
Toasty!
One thing about this movie, and I was so pumped to see this movie in theaters as a kid. Well, yeah, so like I would have been, when this movie came out, I would have been like 11 or 12 years old. But I was so pumped to see this movie, and so, I remember being disappointed by Mario Brothers in theaters.
Which was awesome.
And as a kid, I liked Street Fighter and Double Dragon, the movie, which are both horrible. But I remember being very disappointed by Mario Brothers, the movie.
It's very silly.
But I don't think I could have been any more disappointed in a movie as a kid than this movie. Because it only has one original actor. They replace everybody. Christopher Lambert not in this movie as Raiden. They replaced him with somebody else.
Well, he was doing Highlander.
Yeah, I'm sure he was still doing Highlander movies. He's probably doing Fortress or something at the time. Yeah, literally, only person is Liu Kang. The only same person. Everybody else, maybe I'm wrong. Katana, that chick who played Katana also. But other than that, Sonya Blade, everybody. Completely recast, and they brought in a bunch of characters that were in the 2 and 3 and Ultimate and stuff like that. So, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, this was a $30 million budget as opposed to a $17 million budget, which the first movie had. So, Mortal Kombat Annihilation is our next film. They still couldn't get Cameron Diaz. But I haven't seen this movie in a long time. The last thing I ever seen from it, one morning it was on, and I saw the ending, and I was like, wow, this is fucking horrendous. So, we have some pure garbage from a... we've done Mario Brothers on the show, I thought this may be the first video game movie, but no, there'll be others, I'm sure, because they always suck. So, four people we break down, I'm Corey.
I'm Gina.
I'm Ryan.
And touch boobs.
Touch boobs.
Flawless victory. It's the best of the worst.